If you would now turn with me in the Word of God to the Epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read that chapter in its entirety. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning their faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we ask the Lord's blessing to be upon the public reading of his word this evening. Amen. Amen. In the present day in which we live, the world round about likes to react to certain news events or certain death of individuals, or as we've seen recently, the coming to power of certain rulers. But we're Christians in this day and age. We're called to live in this day and age, in this current world, in this time. But I wonder if we ever ask ourselves the question, what is our reaction to be? How are we to react to those things that we see going on round about? There are some that might say, act in this way or act in this that way. There'll be others that seek to raise up some organisation to go against the tide and the fashions of this day. But as I hope to show to you this evening from this chapter in 2 Timothy, here contained there are some helpful words on how we're to react in this day and age and what we're to do. And first, we must learn from this chapter before us there are two types of people spoken of. Indeed, society can be summed up in two groups of people throughout Scripture. There are those who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and those who don't. Indeed, they're opposite of each other. And as we can see from this chapter, they stand for, they believe in different things, and the two cannot be brought together. And as I'm sure you noticed as we read through this chapter, we're given a list of some of the world's traits by Paul here, and those in this day and age, where Paul lists off this long list, for men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. If we take this list, here we have a very accurate description of so many in this day and age. We only have to take one of these items that are listed here, and we can look out into the world and we can see our fellow men behaving in such a way. But as Paul then goes on to say, there is one common trait here that is very particular in the world, indeed at this time. And it is given to us in verse 8, where he says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Here Paul tells us, these men who are described as being lovers of their own selves, blasphemers, or as evildoers in other places, these resist the truth. They don't want to come unto it. And that instant that Paul refers to is commonly believed to be those magicians in Egypt. And we can read something of them in Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 to 13, and also verse 22. And as we read in Exodus 7 and verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." And in verse 22, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said." This description of Pharaoh and those magicians in his court in that day and age so aptly sum up the world. You can take your average man on the street and you can begin to give him something of God's word. You can talk of salvation. You can perhaps explain why you live this your life this way or that way. But before long, they're resisting it. They begin to bring some counter-argument. Before you've got very far, they say there is no God. Or they bring some other argument from evolution, trying to disprove the gospel and the word. And they're resisting the truth. They may not openly resist it, but they'll resist it in their heart. But this is not the only resisting. There is also that often open assault on the word of God. It's often been the case throughout time. This year marks the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and we only have to read of church history in that time how the truth was resisted. We only have to read in that passage that was before us of how Paul speaks of persecutions at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The world has been and will always be oppressed to God's truth. And as this passage states, these men will wax worse and worse. And indeed, I'm sure all of us here can testify that this list given, this chapter, indeed so aptly sums up the current generation in which we live. But we also must take time to note that there is also something given about those traits of the godly. And Paul, speaking of himself and that testimony, brings some of those characters in relation to himself. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Timothy obviously knew of Paul's life and manner of life and those things that he held to. And if we take these two lists and we compare them, we can see they're opposite each other. They cannot be brought together. Indeed, it is said that the world are ever learning, but never come into the knowledge of. And this is so often the case. The world see our manner of living. They behold it in our day to day. And they don't want to know. And so often the case is that we can bring before them, as I said, some aspect of the gospel. They'll resist it. They'll behold our manner of life. They will resist it. And here we come to the crux of the matter. These two people, as I said, opposite each other and against each other in many aspects. And we must take note, the two are opposite and therefore can't possibly agree. So that begins to set the background for the main thrust of this sermon. So having considered what the traits of the worldly man is, the traits of those round about, the traits of those that seek to resist the truth, that come and seek to bring some contrary truth to us, it is said that they shall wax worse and worse. And as Paul says in verse 12, the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There we have it. Paul stating that we shall suffer persecution. But before we go on, we must also take note what our response is not to be. For in so seeing the world against us and false truth against us, so easy in this day and age to become downcast. We may begin to think that we're doing something wrong. The world doesn't favour us. But as we see from this passage, as I said, the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We cannot expect the favour of the world. So therefore, don't become downcast. As we shall see in a moment, we have an answer given to us and how we're to go on. Also, the other point that we perhaps need to take when we look around and see the world. And it's something that's recently been before us as a local church in the Psalms of Asaph, and particularly in Psalm 73 and verses 2 and 3. I'll just briefly turn you to that psalm and remind you of those words that are there in verses 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slept. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When Asaph saw that prosperity of the wicked, because for so often when we see them, they seem to prosper in those things. They prosper in their false beliefs. They prosper in their lies. We can begin to worry. And in so doing, we can so easily begin to envy them. And in envying them, we can almost want to become like them, for we see them prospering. In another psalm, in Psalm 37, the psalmist tells us not to fret not because of the evildoers. So that is something, briefly, well, our response shouldn't be to these things. We shouldn't become downcast. We shouldn't become envy of them. So now, let us come to what should be the true response of the Christian in this day and age. As I've said, Paul says to Timothy, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. As I said, that verse could so easily have ended at verse 13. And we could be left wondering, what shall we do? We could, as I said, easily become downcast. We could easily begin to fret. Yet Paul, writing with that inspiration, comes to verse 14 and begins it with that word that's often, that word, but. That little word that so often is found in God's word and is often put there to stop us, to arrest us in our reading. Almost, you almost imagine Paul saying to Timothy here, hold on a moment, Timothy, I have yet further truth to tell thee. Stop, consider what I'm about to say. And Paul goes on to say, but continue. And here we have the answer. But continue. And Paul now opens the way that Timothy must continue. And indeed, to continue in something which we're struggling at is hard. I'm sure at times in our life we've had to go through something. We may think back to our days of education, of having to go through exams, college, university, or some other thing. We know the end is there, but we have to continue. We have to continue learning. We have to press on. Or as is the individual who embarks upon a long journey on foot, may find the journey filled with obstacles that he must come. Yet he knows he must press on in order to reach the destination. And indeed, as we know, the Christian walk is often likened to a pilgrimage. And here, Paul is exhorting Timothy, but not only Timothy, but ourselves, to continue. And this is a continuing despite what the world seeks to do. Despite those truce breakers, those fierce despisers, those traitors, those that have that form of godliness. We're to continue. We're to continue despite those persecutions we know, whether they be physical persecutions or the more subtle forms of persecution that are often seen in this day and age. Persecutions through laws that may be passed or other means. Yet, the Christian faith is one that requires continuance. It is not, the Christian faith is not something that is for sunny days, that when we see the storm clouds appearing, we pack it up and put it away and then bring it out again when the going is easier. It is something that requires a continuing from the beginning to the end. But now the question must be asked, what are we to continue in? And again, Paul, by inspiration, is caused to give us three things which we are to continue in. And the first of these is found in that verse 40. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The worldly man, as it's been said early on in this passage, is said to be ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of. He can't and doesn't want knowledge of truth. But from this point, we gather that Timothy must have learned something, for it says, continue thou in those things which thou hast learned or learned. And here we can see that Timothy must have learned something concerning the Lord, his son, along with that knowledge of the word. And in a moment we shall see two ways in which he gained that knowledge. And here is some instruction for us. For when we have gained knowledge of truth, whether it be new truth, or when we're brought into remembrance of truth that we've previously learned, when that truth is a genuine truth, we're to continue in it. And indeed, it's so often the case in churches today that things that have previously been learned are cast off and cast aside. They don't want knowledge. They cast it off. And when the way becomes hard, if that truth that they've once held on to is so oppressed by those round about, they perhaps water it down. They perhaps change the meaning of it. They put a slightly different angle on it rather than continuing in those things. But we, when we've learned something, those things that we've learned, we must continue in them, no matter how unpopular or hard. If it is truth, we must continue in it. For to stop continuing is to put ourselves on unsafe ground. There is also another point of knowledge here, or learning, that we must take note of. And that is that Timothy must have gained a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see from reading these epistles to Timothy that Paul recognises Timothy as being one saved of God. As it says, seen in both epistles. And in Philippians 3:8, Paul describes his knowledge, saying, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That knowledge, that learning, is spoken of as being excellent. It is not an academic knowledge that the world may seek to obtain. It is not an academic knowledge of Christ or of the scriptures, as so many men and women can easily obtain. But it is a saving knowledge which is able to grant eternal life unto those that have it. And this would have been something else that Timothy would have learned. And indeed, it is something that we're to continue in. If we have that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have learned it, we must and should continue in it. For it is that that in the final day shall deliver us from wicked and evil men. And then going on in that verse, Paul says, continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Not only had Paul gained that saving knowledge, he'd been assured of it. And it's interesting to note here that he says, being assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And here there is much to teach us about how Timothy learned them. And I'm sure here when Paul refers to Timothy of learning them, he makes reference to that earlier part of this second epistle and verse in chapter 1 and verse 2, where he says, verse 5, sorry. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. These two ladies here are afforded a place in Scripture to their credit. But aside from that, another reason for Timothy's assurance says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. When we consider who Timothy has learned them of, he hasn't learned them of reprobate men. He hasn't learned them of men that don't have that knowledge. He hasn't learned them of false accusers. Timothy has learned them for those that have that saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only his mother and grandmother, but of no doubt Paul himself and maybe other believers who aren't mentioned in the Word of God. Timothy had learned them. And as I said, it's no doubt that in this passage here, that memorance of his mother and grandmother is brought before him. And as I said, it is internal credit to them and something that those of us here at Parents, and I speak for myself, must take note of, that we are to instruct young ones in the way of the Lord. But we also see here the vital role that godly men and women play in assuring others. For they will not lead others astray. They won't be like those who've crept in and have led people astray. Rather, they will be those through their lives, through their testimony, through what they may say, will bring us or help bring us into that closer assurance of God. And when this does happen, we should be thankful of it. And here we must also learn that when there are those that have taught us from God's word, have shown us some aspect of truth, and through it we've been assured of that aspect of truth, we must continue in it. And this is instruction perhaps for those of us here that are younger in years, for those that have perhaps gone before and have brought us to a certain aspect of truth or point on a doctrine, that we shouldn't so easily cast these things aside. For if they're in accordance with God's word and we've been assured of them, we must continue in them. And then thirdly, we see that Timothy was to continue in the Holy Scriptures, which he had known, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy had known the Word of God from a child. And I'm sure some of us here can be thankful for those parents that we have had who are willing and able to teach us the Scriptures. And we also learn from this that children are natural learners, and when they're taught from the Scriptures, they're taught a wisdom which is above all academic learning. they may achieve. As I stated earlier, Timothy is to continue in those things that he had learned and been assured of. And here we have the source of those things, the Holy Scriptures, that Timothy had known from a childhood. And I'm sure that the Scriptures that were in that, that they had in that day and age, were used by his mother and grandmother in teaching Timothy. For worldly methods of teaching, for worldly philosophies, can't teach us of God, can't teach us of truth, can't bring us unto that knowledge. That knowledge must come from the Scriptures. And in continuing to know the Scriptures, the child of God will continue to gain spiritual knowledge. It is not a case of once we've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that we know it all. Indeed, each time we read it and come unto it, we find some new truth. We find some new way to approach some aspect of truth. And only speaking with my wife this week, we were commenting how, as we've gone through life, and each time we come unto another aspect of God's word, it seems to bring a new meaning, or our life circumstances seem to cause us to read God's word or some aspect of truth in a different way. And it's something I can testify of in recent events of becoming a father, that we read certain aspects of God's word and they take on a whole new meaning to our current aspect of life. But also the second half of verse 13 gives us a wonderful reason to continue in the Scriptures. And it says, it's able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So I said, the world likes to speak much of learning and wisdom in this day and age. There's much before us. The media like to purport it. The government like to push it. The world like to attain to that academic knowledge. They say they have a great knowledge. They say they have a greater knowledge than ever before. We see the results of that knowledge, though. They say there is no God. They say that their greater knowledge has proved there is no God. And this is a wisdom that the world like to seek after. It's a wisdom that they like to purport. But here, we're dealing with spiritual wisdom. And that wisdom is able to make us wise unto salvation. This very book that we have in front of us, the Bible, contains those words of eternal life. It is through this book that men and women gain that saving knowledge. They may be witnessed to by a believer who is used to bring them unto God. But yet, what is the root of that? The root is God's word. A man can't preach the gospel, unless he first studies God's word. A godly woman can't live a godly life unless she has first gained that knowledge to live a godly life through the Scriptures. So here we see that no matter what is going on, when we consider these things, when we look at it, we can see that all learning is traced back to the Scriptures. And from it, we can see that from that learning of the Scriptures, that saving knowledge can be said. And as I said, what is the heart of this book? And it's Christ. That is the very substance of this book that we have. As I said, a person first being brought unto Christ will always be brought unto that saving knowledge through the word. But as we said, verse 15 also states that there will be faith that is added unto that knowledge. For as I said, a man may gain knowledge of Christ through reading the word, but unless he has that faith to believe the words, he cannot possibly be saved. As I said, it here says, faith which is in Christ Jesus. They must put that faith in Christ Jesus. Yet there are two very pertinent points, I feel, from this scripture that can, from this section before us, that I'd like to consider in conclusion. And that give us great encouragement to continue. The first is by continuing those things that we've learned and been assured of in the scriptures, we will make a marked stand against those evildoers. By continuing in those things, by continuing in the word, we will be making a marked stand against those that have been listed there, against those, as I said, who are without natural affections, despisers of those that are good. Such people as these, we will be standing against them. And what have we had to do? Have we had to go out and start some new organisation? Have we had to go out and begin some new protest? No, we've been instructed to continue in the word. And indeed, this continuance can be used by God to point people unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The world may not always mark our continuance. God continuing, God does. But the world, who perhaps see us routinely coming up to the Lord's house, or routinely forsaking something in the workplace or some other thing, begin to perhaps mark that witness. And indeed, it can be used to point others unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is also perhaps worth noting that a continuance in this day and age like this, a continuing of the world, is testament unto God's mercy that the sinner still has time to repent. And therefore, we should also continue in this time. Paul, writing in Philippians, said that it was needful for him to abide on this earth and to continue. And so is the same for us. We do not know what witness God has in store for us, but we're to continue. And we're to continue in those things that we've learned. As I said, continue in the scripture. Time does not allow, but maybe in your own time, you'd like just to ponder that well-known verse, verse 16, where it is given and proves the sufficiency for all aspects of Christians, of the Christian faith. For indeed, there are many in this day and age that like to stop continuing. There are many that seek to bring in, as I said, some new gimmick or some new means. But we're to continue in the scriptures. But also, secondly, I'd like to also mention that by continuing, the true child of God is continuing in that salvation that they have in Christ Jesus. They have been called unto him. They have gained that saving knowledge. And then through faith, they have believed upon him. And by continuing, they're working out that salvation in Christ. They prove him sufficient in all matters, and by it they seek that heavenly kingdom to come. Paul, writing elsewhere, makes reference of those that who stopped continuing and made shipwreck of their faith. In many of Paul's epistles, we can read of how those that once walked with him well turned aside and no longer walked with him. As I said earlier, the Christian faith is often likened to that race. And that race is never won. But a race is never won by a winner who stops. And like the winner of a race who can't stop but must persevere to the end, we're to persevere to the end, that we may gain that crown of eternal life. For Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain." Paul knew that he had to continue in those things that he had been learnt of. Paul knew opposition many a time, as we said, in Iconium, at Antioch, at Lystra. He knew opposition, but he knew likewise he had to continue. And indeed, we only have to turn over into the next chapter of our Bibles to read of how Timothy says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Paul would not have been able to pen those verses by inspiration if he hadn't continued from the first. If at the first persecutions that he suffered as a Christian, he had turned round about. If when he went to, say, Athens and stood upon Mars Hill and saw those that he preached unto, resisting the gospel, resisting the truth, turned round about. Or as he went into synagogues and faced the persecution of the Jews, that he stopped. Or whether those turning aside, he can stop. He would not have been able to write, as he did here, that he knew that there was that crown of righteousness. And that crown is only obtained by those that persevere. The way is hard. Evildoers often stand in the way. But by continuing, we overcome. And of overcoming, we obtain that crown of righteousness. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne," says the word of God. And so may each one of us here so prove the scriptures sufficient. We may continue in those things that we have learned, but not only learned, but in those other things that we may continue to learn upon our pilgrim pathway. As we learn truth and are assured of it, let us continue it. And that we may continue in the scriptures, that this word of God may be our only, that final rule in all matters of faith, and that so doing so, in that final day, we may attain that crown and may be found to be sat on the right hand of our Father in heavenly places. So may the Lord Jesus Christ grant us that godly continuance in his word. Amen.